Dear saints, oh, those disciples, those 12 that had complete access to Jesus for almost 3 years. They heard every sermon. They saw every healing. They witnessed every miracle. They could ask Jesus any question they wanted, whenever they wanted. They saw Jesus pray. They heard him teach. Every word that the Father wanted to proclaim through the Son, the disciples heard. And yet, they don't get it. They still don't get it. Listen to what the disciples say in our gospel reading. "Ah, now you are speaking plainly, Jesus, and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Ironically, Jesus had just said some of the most confusing things to them yet, and yet with one voice they say, "Oh, we understand." You and I have done that. Picture yourself sitting in class, maybe you're in elementary school or high school or maybe even college, and the teacher is going on and on about something that is way over your head, maybe, or perhaps you're just not listening. And she asks, "Does everybody understand?" You nod your head, because nobody wants to ask the teacher for help. I've done it. You don't want to look stupid. Well, standing in front of Almighty God, the disciples didn't want to look stupid either. But Jesus knows better. He replies to them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone." We know that they don't understand because in just a few short hours, everything that Jesus has predicted is going to come to pass. He'll be arrested, tried, mocked and scourged, and crucified. And what will the disciples do? Scatter. Run away, as if everything that's happening is a complete surprise to them, although Jesus has told them multiple times, because they still didn't understand. And yet, despite their thick-headedness, despite the fact that Jesus knows that these 12 will shortly abandon them, Jesus gives them these incredible words of comfort. He says, "The Father himself loves you." He says that to each one of you as well. The Father himself loves you. Despite the times when we don't get it, despite the times when we're thick-headed, despite the times when we make ourselves to be better Christians than we really are, or perhaps the opposite, those times when we despair that we're not good enough, the words of Jesus come to us. The Father loves you. Why? Jesus says, "Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." What a striking statement. The Father loves us because we have loved the Son who came from the Father. Now, to our Lutheran ears, that may seem a little problematic, for we know what John says later in 1 John. "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." But Jesus explains what this love is that the disciples have for him. He says, "You have believed that I came from God." That is the language of faith. Through faith in what Jesus says about who he is, we are able to love him. Loving Jesus means believing what he says, believing that he came from the Father, believing that he is truly God in the flesh, and that he is our Lord. God gives us faith. Because of that faith, how could we help but love Jesus? We who believe and are baptized are loved by the Father. And in turn, he loves us. No, the disciples didn't understand everything that Jesus was teaching them. They wouldn't really get it until Pentecost. They had faith. The faith that Jesus gave them. But now, as Jesus says in our gospel reading, but now something's about to change. For he came from the Father for a specific purpose. Not only to preach and to heal and do miracles, but to die and to rise again. And for this reason, Jesus is leaving them. He is going away for a little while, as we heard in last week's gospel reading, going to the cross. This is the work he must do. This is the work he must do for those disciples. This is the work he must do for us. Though the disciples may not understand what's happening, and though we don't always fully understand either, Jesus must complete his work. He does. In his death and resurrection, completes his work of salvation for us. And because of this, because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, the first part of our gospel reading has come to pass, which says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask the Father in Jesus' name and he will give it to you. That's what Jesus says. Now, how can that be? How can it be that God, the creator of the universe, all-knowing and all-powerful, would want to listen to me? I'm not important. I haven't done anything particularly special in this world. I'm a sinner. Why would God the Father want to listen to me, even desire to listen to my prayers? I don't even know what to pray for most of the time. But Jesus promises that this is true. On what grounds? On the grounds that he has made peace between us and the Father. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. God is no longer our enemy. He is our Father. Jesus is our brother. In fact, in John 15, Jesus goes even further and he says that we are his friends. And God the Father bids us to ask him in prayer as dear children ask their dear Father. And like those 12 disciples, we are still learning. We still have these mental blocks, if you will. We are learning what the Holy Spirit has to teach us through his word. We are learning that everything we have, our worldly possessions, our abilities, our skills, the people that God has blessed us with, all of these things come from God's goodness alone. We are still learning both the depth of our own sinfulness and thereby also learning the depth of God's infinite grace and mercy. We are learning how hard it is to struggle against our flesh and against the temptations of the world and the devil. And we discover how hard it really is and how much our sinful nature wages against what is right in thought, word, and deed. We are learning that to love our neighbor as ourselves is an impossible task if it were not for the love of Christ that has been poured into us. We are learning to trust that when God gives us his word, when he causes us to remember our baptisms, when he grants us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from this altar, we are learning that he does indeed strengthen us in our faith and in fervent love toward one another. That's what a disciple is. It's literally one who learns. We Christians never stop learning. And for all of those things, for all of those lessons, we need help. We need to ask the teacher for help. And so we go to God in prayer. As we sang in our intro, it, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. We pray in Jesus' name for all those material and spiritual blessings that God already desires to give us. We ask God to open the word of the scriptures and to send us his Holy Spirit that we might understand them, that we would learn to love what is good and to hate what is evil, as the scriptures teach, that we would learn to trust in God alone for our daily bread, everything we need to support this body and life, that we would learn to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. That we would learn that Jesus Christ alone has the words of eternal life, and there is no one and nowhere else to whom we can turn. And as we pray, we are always conscious to regulate our prayers with the words, Lord, thy will be done. For we know that God's will is always best. So we pray that his will would be done among us, in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our community. This is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Yes, to invoke his name in prayer, but also it is learning to pray for those things that Jesus really wants to give us. We can come to God confidently in prayer. He has promised to hear us. I'll close our meditation this morning with some words from Luther that he writes to his barber, Peter, on prayer. Luther writes, notice at last that you have to make the amen strong every time and not doubt. God is surely listening to you with every grace and is saying yes to your prayer. Do not think to yourself that you are kneeling or standing there alone. For all of Christendom, all upright Christians are with you, and among them in a unanimous, harmonious prayer which God cannot disdain. And do not leave the prayer unless you have said or thought, all right, God has heard my prayer, and truly I know this for certain, for that is what amen means. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.